welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Streaming live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fmradio.
Also, you can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device.
He's ready.
And search WWGH. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with VITM, Victory and Truth Ministries, Bishop J.C. Church, 485 State Route, 4 South, Bucyrus, Ohio. Telephone number there is 419-563-9565. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515. She is located in Marion, Ohio, and also Chappie's Hydraulics. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. Time 12 p.m. till 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries. Address once again is 582 Lee Street. All you need to do is show up, sign in, provide name and number of people in your family. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company. Home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And as always, I have a thought for today. Think happy thoughts. Good things will happen. Because if you think negative thoughts, then your whole attitude, your whole outlook, everything you think about will be negative. So let's turn that thing around, okay? All right. Now, some of you have been waiting faithfully for my guest today, Don Woodard. Are you there, Don?
I am. I'm honored to be here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been really looking forward to this.
Well,
very excited. Very excited about being in Marion this weekend.
Well, great. We'd like to let our listeners know, those who've been faithfully waiting and those who may have not or just tuned in at this present time, Don Woodard is a native Marionite, and he grew up in Marion. He graduated from Marion Harding High School. He is a pastor, an evangelist, a Christian counselor, and author of, I think you told me, 7 books. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
And your latest book is called Restored Living and Loving After Abuse. So, Don, could you give us just a little bit more of your bio?
I did grow up in Marion. My family moved there, I think, in 1962. My mother was from Upper Sandusky. My father was from Tennessee. I was born in Tennessee, but we moved to Ohio there to Marion when I was I'm not sure how old I was, but I know we were there in 1962 because my brother was born in Marion, so
okay. That's
how I know for sure we were there. And ended up in 1965, we moved to North Main Street, and I grew up there on North Main Street, went to North Main Street School, went to Taft School, went to the freshman building, and in 1978, I graduated from high school at Harding High School in Marion. My first real job, other than other things I did before I was old enough to work, was at Famous Recipe.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the best bosses I ever had was Ray Boyd, and he owns Famous Recipe now. He's a great guy.
Okay.
So I grew up there, have a lot of friends and connections, and I try to get up there from time to time, and I'm blessed that I get to keep up with people in Marion quite a bit with Facebook and other things, but, a lot of good memories in Marion. Met my wife in Marion. Everything is good. Met Jesus in Marion.
Amen. That's great, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
So I would also like to ask you, what was it like growing up in Marion, and how did that impact you think, to being the man that you are today?
Well, I had we had some good neighbors. I had good friends that I grew up with. I don't know how much many names you want me to mention. One of the longest friendships I have is probably with a fellow named Rick Breeding that lived down the street from me. Chris Sims lived behind me, and I know you're cousins with Chris, and we still communicate. Then one of the best friends I ever had lived down the street from me on North Main Street, or I'm sorry, North State Street. He lived down the alley, and that was Joe French. And Joe lives in Texas. We stay in touch. But one of the greatest things that happened to me in Marion was when I was 5 years old, a lady named Georgie Parrish. Now, I can get emotional talking about this, but a lady named Georgie Parrish came and knocked on our door, and she attended the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And she started taking my brother and I to Sunday school when I was 5 years old. And just the people in that church loved me and had a great influence on my life and the people there. And the church was there in the neighborhood, of course, where I grew up. And I have many, many, many great memories of that church and the people there. And last year, in August, the church celebrated their 100th anniversary, and they invited me to come and preach that day. And it was just a great time. And so that was a great help to me, you know, having that influence in my life. And I've learned to be grateful for people who care about you and people who try to mentor you and encourage you. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that'll tell you you can't live your dream.
Yes.
And they'll discourage you. And sadly, some of them, you know, maybe they gave up. And so they get discouraged and they want to discourage you. But I was very blessed. I had people that just kept encouraging me and influencing me, and I owe them a great deal. I owe Georgie Parrish, who's now in heaven. She lived to be 94. I owe her my life. I love her dearly. And other people, again, I probably shouldn't mention names. I'll leave somebody important out, but I don't mean to do that. But I was blessed to have good folks around me.
That's a great, and sometimes, like you said, it's good not to try to name a lot of people, because someone, like you said, was like, well, he didn't mention my name. But from what I gather from all that you have said so far is that this lady, lovely lady, helped start you on your, well, she showed you the way that led you on the path that you are on today. And I know you're more than grateful for that. And I think we are too, because of the books that have come out of you. And let me also go here. How many children do you have? You said you met your wife here in Marion.
Yes, I met my wife in Marion about 2 years after I graduated from high school. I met her, and we have five children, and we were recently blessed with our eighth, let me make sure I got this right, eighth grandchild. Eighth grandchild was born Saturday morning at 1:09, and we're very excited. Her name is Alisa Joy Christine, and we're excited. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful, and we thank God for the new addition to your family, that she was born healthy and strong and normal.
Yes, praise God for that.
Amen.
Yeah, very healthy.
A lot to be thankful for, and new additions to the family, you know. And I think that people who have a lot of children are truly blessed of the Lord. And I always think about what God told Abraham, and he said, you know, look as far as you can, and your seed, you know, and all those that will come out of you will make you a great nation. They said Abraham was rich, and he had much, so he had a large family also. And just think, his family is still multiplying.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
It is. Okay, so we are talking about your book called Abuse. Now, this is the one that you will be signing when you come Saturday at the Hope Crossing Christian Books and Gift Store at 187 West Center Street, Suite B, Marion, Ohio. Now, what you think led you to write this book called Abuse?
Well,
what inspired you?
When I, in 1994, I started traveling with an idea of, I went going into churches and trying to encourage churches to reach teenagers. I've always had a heart for teenagers. I love young people. And I thought, well, if I could encourage the local church to reach young people, then we would, you know, be able to get something accomplished. And I was down in southern Ohio preaching in a church. I was invited to a youth rally. And there was, after the youth rally, it was on a Saturday night, as I recall, and there was a lady there, and her husband was a police officer, and she was very involved in that church. And she brought this young lady to hear me at the youth rally. And the young lady was 14, and her name was Sarah. And she just had lots of problems. And she was very, kind of like a, you know, a cloud hanging over her, just very depressed, discouraged. She was a cutter. She had marks all up her arms and just all kinds of problems in her life. And she asked if she could talk to me. And so we sat down on the front steps of the church after the service, and she, we, you know, just started talking to me a little bit, and I didn't push her too much, but I wanted her to know, I wanted to earn her trust, and so I wanted her to kind of open up a little bit, see if we could, the lady that brought her was there with us, and we were just trying to talk to her a little bit, and she started telling us about her life, and she told me that she was being abused in her home. And thankfully, of course, that lady that brought her husband was a police officer, so all that was dealt with later. But, and I won't go into the details of what she told me, but it was, it just absolutely took my breath away. And I can't imagine that someone would do this to a 14-year-old child. And that was kind of my real life introduction to abuse. And then later on in my ministry, people would come to me, and about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now, we had some people come to me that shared with me that they had been abused and as children, as a child, and beginning at the age of 7 to the age of 17, it was a lady. Her and her husband came to me. They had all kinds of problems and things. And so I got burdened about this, and I thought there's got to be some solutions, ways to help them heal. And I began to study, and I worked on this book for 4 years. And I believe that the Bible has the solutions to our problems and the answers to our questions. And I also believe the Bible has a healing power. And so I looked in the Bible, and I started talking to people and asking questions. People have been abused. And when we were kind of really getting going with the research I was doing, the studying I was doing, it's like the Lord kept sending me people that were able to help me to understand abuse and understand what they were dealing with. And I kind of assembled a team to help me write the book. Everything that is in the book was read and gone over and discussed with a team of people who had been abused. There was another friend on the team who is a dear friend of mine, and he's married to a lady who was abused as a child. And so his perspective was a little different, but it was very helpful. And so everything in the book was ran by them, and the one chapter in the book called Questions from the Heart, Answers from God. Every question is a question that they asked. It's what they, I asked them, I said, what are the unanswered questions? What do you want to know? What do you struggle with, and put it in the form of a question? So they submitted these questions to me, and then I would go to the Bible and try to answer the question. And they were very, well, they were involved in all of it, but that chapter was, seemed to be very powerful and important to them. And the one lady that helped tremendously on the book, she told me, as we were discussing that chapter, we were finishing it up, she told me, she said, you don't understand the importance of this. She said, these are the questions that we've not been able to ask anyone because we can't talk about this. We don't know how to ask these questions because abuse is the not talked about topic in our society. And so this team helped me. They helped me with that chapter, of course, and everything that's in the book went through their scrutiny, you might say. They went through it. They said, well, this is helpful. You know, explain this. I mean, that's how the book came about.
Okay. And I, and as you're talking about that, you're saying, I'm getting this from your flyer, abuse, the not talked about topic of our day, yet many suffer alone in silence. So do you think that we should continue to be silent about that, or it seems like we're touching it very, very lightly, because, you know, our pastor even talked Sunday at church about pornography being the number one crime in our society in America. It rates number one as far as addiction is concerned. And I also understand that our flesh is our worst enemy. And all this plays a part in the not talked about topic of our day, but need to be uncovered. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that I commend your pastor for addressing that. And a lot of people, of course, that are a lot of abusers, depending on the type of abuse and so on, they're, most of them probably are involved in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to abuse, I think it's important, especially for the church, to acknowledge there's a problem. But it has to go beyond that. We have to somehow get the message to the person that's sitting in the pew that's been abused, that's never talked about it, that keeps it inside, that struggles with the aftermath of it. They have to know that within the church family, within the church, the faith of Christianity, there's healing. And that one of the biggest challenges an abused person has is coming to terms with the fact it's not their fault. And one of the things that we have to remind them in counseling with them is to get that across to them. This is not your fault. You did not do anything wrong. One of the things I talk about in my book is the guilt. And I share in the book that there's two forms of sin.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sin we commit, and there's sin that is committed against us.
Right.
Abuse is evil in that it is a sin committed against another human being. That's what evil is. Evil is a sin that's committed against another person.
Right.
So in the abused person's life, they've been told this is your fault. I wouldn't do this if you would do this. And sometimes the most evil thing is that a person abusing a child might say, I'm doing this because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to know, and we as Christians in the church have to get across to people, this isn't your fault. We don't hold you accountable for this. Because too often people maybe have approached the church leadership and said, you know, I need to talk to someone. This has happened to me. This happened in my childhood. And they've been told, well, now we don't want to talk about that. That was bad. And you just need to forget about that. You shouldn't say anything about that. Well, that just puts more guilt on that person, like they've done something wrong. And like it's like pushing them away and making them feel even more rejection. So we have to acknowledge that there's a problem, and sadly abuse has happened in churches, and so we have to acknowledge there's a problem, and then we have to share with people that, hey, there's hope. There is hope. There's healing, and there's hope. And I think it begins with expressing to people that this isn't your fault and helping them come to terms with that. Other things they struggle with, and one of the things I'm real big, I've taught this for years, I love it, I call it the four human needs. There's four things everyone needs, every human being needs. Number one, I need someone to love me.
Right.
Number two, I need to feel that I'm important to someone. And number three, I need to believe there's hope. And number four, I need to believe there's a purpose for my life.
Right.
Well, the person who's been abused, whether it's been emotionally, which would be partly verbally, or physically, or sexually, they don't have those needs met in their life. They don't believe anybody loves them. That's a big struggle for the abused person. They don't believe anybody loves them. If someone loves me, why would people do this to me? Why has this happened to me?
Right.
And then, of course, they don't feel like they're important. They feel like they're a throwaway kind of person. They don't believe, they lack hope. Hope is an expectation that something good can happen or that something good can come into my life. And then they don't see that there's a purpose for their life, which means they do not have a strong desire to even live. So we have to help them with that. We have to help them to understand. And I tell people that all four of those needs are fulfilled in one verse in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's John 3:16. For God so loved you. You're so important, he gave his only begotten son. there's hope because he said, if you believe in him, you'll never perish. And then he said he'd give you everlasting life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said he'd give you abundant life. So we have to get that across. We have to work with them on that and counsel with them on that and kind of reteach them, if you will, and help. The big thing in that is gaining trust. Help
right.
them to believe that.
Because
another big challenge
sorry,
an abused person has is they don't trust anyone.
Right.
And they go, and sometimes they have lots of relationship problems. They'll go from one relationship to another because they don't trust anyone. And if they think possibly they may be getting too close, or they think possibly this person could hurt me, they'll sabotage the relationship, even if that person's a good person that's they're trying to have that relationship with. They'll sabotage it because of the trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
A person who's been hurt terribly, they don't trust anyone. So you have to establish trust, especially in counseling and working with and ministering to people. I kind of prefer the term ministering to people over counseling people, because that's what we're doing when ministering to people.
That's true.
We have to establish trust. One of the ways we do that, I believe, is we give them a voice. We listen. We let them speak. And the abused person, they need to be heard. They need someone that they can speak to, that they can develop a trust relationship with, so they can begin the healing process. And a lot of people who have been abused, they struggle with trusting God. Why should I believe that God would love me when this person that's the prominent male in my life
right.
has hurt me so bad? They never loved me. So how can I believe that God would love me?
That's true.
So we have to help them build trust in us so that then we can help them build trust in God. Sometimes we get offended because we talk to somebody about the Lord and we think, well, what's wrong with them? How come they won't believe in God like we do? Well, there's a lot of people or someone very prominent hurt them really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get beyond that before they're going to believe in someone that they can't see and trust someone they can't see. And a lot of times that begins with us building trust. We worked with someone a couple of years ago that had been mostly verbally and physically abused. And they don't trust anybody. And one of the tragedies in that was one Christian family that they had lived with hurt them terribly, hurt them emotionally, and did hurt them physically. So they trust no one, especially if they say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, then they're not going to trust. They didn't trust us. We had to work very, very, very hard to earn their trust. Now, today they trust my wife and I, and we've seen great victory in their life. But we had to build trust. We had to earn their trust.
I'm sure you
and
did.
And in working with someone that's been abused, the church has to earn that person's trust. The
right.
leadership in the church has to earn trust, or they're not going to be able to be effective in helping them.
That's true, and I know from experience, a lot of people, they come forward and they find someone that they think they can trust, and they do share, you know, their feelings with them and what is going on in their household, but still the abuser is scot-free to continue to abuse those people. No one, it's hard for others, once you have come to someone and you have shared this with them, for them to go to the abuser and say, well, you know, this is not right, you need to stop it. So how can we give people so much hope if we don't deal with the abuser? And how, if you deal with the abuser, how do you deal with them?
Well, there's two aspects of that. The one part of that is if it's, you're dealing with something that happened in the past. The other is if you're dealing something with something that's happening right now. Now, if for example, there'd be a couple, you know, every situation is going to be different. If there's a child that's being abused and they tell you that, you've got to do something about that right away.
Mm-hmm.
If, let's say, there's a lady that comes and says, you know, this guy I'm with or my husband or whoever, you know, he's beating me and stuff, and that can be a real challenge. That has to be confronted, I believe. Now, I'm kind of old-fashioned in that. I think there's some ways we could just deal with that. But anyway, I know we do need to talk to police. But anyway, that has to be confronted, but the lady has to know there's a place she can go, there's help available, and that the church, you know, if there's definite evidence, there's no question this person, this guy is hurting her, that has to be dealt with. Now, when it comes to someone from the past, there's a principle I talk about in the book that several people shared with me was helpful to them, and that is when Asa became king of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, he was like seven generations down from King David, I think, maybe six. Anyway, he was descendant of David, King David, and Asa began, the Bible says Asa began to reign. Well, Asa's grandmother had brought false gods into Israel. She had brought in idols, and she caused all kinds of problems. And so, although, of course, she didn't abuse him, but there was problems for the people of Israel. So what Asa did when he became king, he dethroned her. He took her out of the position of being queen. He took her out of the position of having any authority. Well, the principle is for the person who's been abused and they have this person that's been in their life that hurt them real bad, is that emotionally and mentally, we could say, they have to dethrone that person. Now, they have to process that, and that takes time, but the principle is that they no longer allow that person to have control in their life. Now, they may be in an age now, what happened may have been when they were little, and now they're grown, and so that person may still be alive, that person may be related to them. But what they have to do is emotionally they have to dethrone that person from their life. Mm-hmm. And the point is they have to, in their heart, in their mind, say, you know, that I'm no longer going to allow that person to control my emotions. I'm not going to let them make me become a person of hate, and I'm not going to let them make me angry. I'm not going to let them make me bitter. I'm going to remove them from that place of authority in my life and from that place of control. A big thing with a person who is an abuser is part of the reason they do it is for control. They want to be in control. Mm-hmm. And when you take that away from them, you have victory. You have more control. But when it comes to a child being hurt, being abused in any way, that has to be confronted. And thankfully, we have laws now. We have authorities that deal with that. And I've seen them deal with that, and they deal with it quite well.
Okay.
But that should never be. A child should never, ever, ever be especially abused in any way. But the most evil thing of all is to sexually harm a child. That's just beyond comprehension, and that has to be stopped.
Oh, yes, definitely should be stopped, and the list goes on and on. I mean, you think it's something that we've overcome and gotten better as far as living our lives as mothers and fathers and people in authority, but society seems to be going on this downward slope as far as abuse is concerned, and then you've got people being bullied. Even that's on the rise, and now you got suicide on the rise. So that answers a lot of questions as far as suicide is concerned, because when you think about those who are living silently and not saying anything about it, and like you said earlier, they lose the desire to live because they see no hope, no joy in it, and they want out.
Yeah, suicide's I have a tender place in my heart about that. When I was in high school, one of my dear friends committed suicide. And a lot of abuse victims will end up doing that. And that's where that hopelessness comes in. When someone believes there's absolutely no hope, then the chances of them considering suicide is very high. Every day, 3,400 teenagers contemplate suicide. Every day, 3,400. Over 5,000 teenagers a year commit suicide. It's probably higher than that now. And we need to address this. And this goes very deep. And I believe, and again, I've worked with teenagers for over 30 years. One of the things we have to get across to them is the value of life. We've told them that God did, a God somewhere in heaven did not create you, okay? You used to be a swamp rat, and you evolved, and you evolved into a man. So life really doesn't have a lot of value at that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken that from them. We've taken from them the truth that a holy God loved them and created them for the purpose of loving them and for them loving him back. Mm-hmm. We've taken that from them. We've told them that they evolved from something.
Evolution.
So we have to get back to teaching the value of life, that life itself has value and that their life has value and that God created them for a purpose and that their life does matter and their life counts and what they do counts. And then we've told them that in the aftermath, people don't think about the aftermath of the things that they do. Now, I know that what I'm about to say is not popular among some, but we've told society that which is in you, which is in that lady, that's not a baby. That's just a little glob of flesh. And if you don't think you want that, we can take that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's taking away, again, the value of life. But yet, we don't understand. And other things, I think, are involved. Some of the video games that young people play, it's just all about death and killing. And some of the music that's out there is all about death and killing and violence. And, you know, I've heard some of these or read some of these lyrics to some of these songs about, you know, beating up your mother and beating up your girlfriend and beating up your wife and all this kind of stuff. And then we see all these influences, but then we set back and say, well, why are these young people acting like this? Why are they shooting each other? It's because we're not teaching the value of life. We're teaching that the other behavior is acceptable, but it's not acceptable. Life is valuable. Everybody's life matters. Everybody's life is important. Every person is important in some way. There's a reason that you were born. So many times over the years, young people have said to me that they've said things like, well, I was a mistake. My mom and dad have told me that I was a mistake. My mom told me I was an accident. I was a mistake. And my dad's never been there. Well, if you're breathing air right now, mm-hmm. you're not a mistake.
Right.
Because God doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't have accidents. So if you're breathing air, there's a purpose for you being here. And your life is very valuable. You're very valuable. So I think all of this comes into play. You know, the Bible says that we reap what we sow. And if we continue to sow the same thing in the hearts of our young people, we're going to reap the same thing we're getting now and worse. So we have to, the church has a responsibility, and they need to exercise that and reach out to young people and love young people. And every church should be a place of healing, a place of spiritual, emotional hope and healing.
That's true. It should be, you know. And it's sad to say, too, a lot of them are becoming empty. And I think a lot of people were also witnessing the great falling away from the church and from the truth, as you mentioned earlier. And it's like, well, what happened to our foundation? We need to stand on our foundation. We need to believe the Word of God and what He says, you know. He says, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, there's life in God's Word. And like you said, we need to tell them you were intricately and wonderfully made. You know, God loved us so much. He left heaven to walk this land. And not only that, to die for you. And I can just feel some of the hurt that these teenagers feel. Because, you know, there's very few people who have not been abused in one way or another throughout their lifetime. The numbers are great. Some of us have been able to get over it a little easier than some, but still, those things have happened in our life, whether we name them exactly, you know, by name what has happened, but abuse is abuse. And I like to be honest and truthful with people, you know. Hey, I've been abused more than one way. I've been abused, but I found out that God is real. And I found out that God does love me. And, you know, and I was going to talk to you about predestination. Well, were we predestined to go in the path that we have gone in? What do you think about predestination?
Well, I think that we have a free will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's evil in the world. And sometimes people, like with an abused person, that one of the challenges, you know, why did this happen to me? Why was this meant to be for me? Well, no, I don't believe it was meant to be. It's just that there's evil in the world. There's an evil influence that we call Satan, Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
and he has a lot of minions, and when he gets a hold of someone, an abuser, and entices them, and that's what ends up happening. But I think we have a free will, and I think that we can choose to overcome. We can choose to be a victim. We can choose to be victorious.
Yes, yes.
And that's one of the purposes of my book, is I want to show people that they can be victorious, that they can live and love again. There is hope. There's hope in the Word of God. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in the biblical principles that are laid out for the person who's been abused, that their life does matter, and that they can be victorious, and they can know good relationships. And you know, truly life is about relationships. If you think about every blessing you have in life, or I should say most of your blessings, they're somehow attached to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your challenges in life are somehow attached to a relationship. Our greatest relationships are relationship with God. But sometimes we have these people that hurt us, and we have to learn how to deal with them and deal with what's happened and process it and heal from it, and then we can live in a more victorious way. I'm convinced that the most powerful thing in the universe is love. The Bible says God is love.
Yes.
And the most powerful thing is to love people. And if we can help people believe they're loved and convince them that they're loved, I believe that they can overcome anything that's ever happened to them. But that belief in being loved is robbed from them. You know, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
Right.
So the thief takes that hope, takes that love, he steals it away, and he robs them of their hope and their dreams. So we have to show them and encourage them and be the example of Christ, be the light and the salt, and help them believe that they're loved. I think it was Spurgeon that said, if you can convince a person that you love them, they will come to Christ. And I believe that. I believe that love is a powerful thing. And if you can take someone who doesn't believe they're loved, they've been through terrible things, terrible tragedies, terribly abused, if you can convince them that they are loved and they are lovable, I believe they can turn their life around and live victoriously.
I think so, too. I mean, what else do we have but love, you know? It was love that God used to put all that we see and that surrounds us, you know, and the sky, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are therein, you know, all for us, you know, that we could have joy in the land that we live in. And not only that we could have relationships not just with one another, but also with him. He loves us that much, you know. And
that's right, Everett. You just reminded me of one of my favorite little thoughts, I guess. I've heard pastors and preachers say that, you know, tell the congregation, your sin put Jesus on the cross. That's not true.
No.
It's not our sin that put him on the cross. It's his love for us.
Yes.
That put him on the cross.
Yes.
He went to the cross because he loves us. He shed his blood because he loves us in spite of our sin. He died because he loves us in spite of our sin. And he rose again because he loves us in spite of our sins. Not our sin that put him on the cross. It's his love for us.
Yes.
Love put him there. Love is the most powerful thing in the universe.
Yes, it is.
Ever. And the Bible says God is love. And love exists because of God.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And like you said, if we can get people to understand that, no matter what happens in their life, God is still there and he still loves you and he is still on the throne, you know, and there's hope and there is a way out, you know. And, you know, that comforts me every day. God loves me. And it's like a revelation that he gives you, and you can live a long time in your life and not even understand the love of God.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And that he loves you.
Yeah, we can't understand it. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You can't even explain it. You can't even describe it. And there's no way I think our little minute mind can comprehend it. But I sure am glad he loves me. I can't explain it, but I'm glad he loves me.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. And then he says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. You know, and I like to share that with people who are hurting. He's with you all the time. He hasn't gone anywhere once you have received him as your Lord and Savior from sin. You know, he said, I will not even loose my hold on you. I will not. You know, and then verse 6 says, I will give you the power and the strength to endure and to overcome. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good God. And if we did not have his love, we all would be lost.
That's right. That's right. There'd be no hope at all.
No hope.
If it wasn't for his love, there'd be no hope. Absolutely. I need to write those verses down. I like those verses you were sharing there. I need to remember that. I don't have all of it memorized yet.
I understand. I think I took a shortcut with a couple of them, but because he said...
That's okay. I understood. I got it. Yeah.
Some of my favorites, you know, when I was going through a dark time in my life, it was those words that lifted me up. You know, I'll never leave you. Yeah, I know this happened to you, but I still love you. I'm still here for you, you know, and I will open doors for you. No man can close, and I will close doors no man can open it, and it's only through him.
That's right.
It's
That's
only
right.
through him, and saying, Lord, I believe you, I trust you, do that for me. And he will, and he will. And just before you go, I do want you to speak again to those who may be abused or may not have been abused, but one day they may. This may happen to them in their life, and I want you to speak to them who may be suffering or to suffer, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But they
That's
can remember
right.
your words.
Well, I appreciate that. A couple of things I would say, as I tell people who've been abused, is that you have value, because one of the challenges, you don't feel like you're valuable to anybody. Anybody wants you. I assure you that there's a God in heaven that loves you and wants you. And you have value, and that you can have victory. You can know peace. You can know hope, and you can have good relationships. A couple of important things to do. You need to find someone that can help you and encourage you. I encourage you to go to the Bible and read the book of John, and just read it and read it and read it until after reading it, you can say in your heart, I now believe that God loves me. I believe it. I believe that all of the Bible is powerful, but the book of John is very powerful when it comes to seeing the love that Christ has for you. But I encourage you to get some help. And if you come by and see us there at the Hope Crossing Christian Bookstore on Saturday, I'll be there from 11 to 1. I'd be happy to talk with you and try to help you find someone locally that could encourage you and help you. I'd be happy to have a weekly conversation with you on the phone. I'll help you any way that I can. If you've been abused, you come and see me. I'm on Facebook. I'm happy to work with you and help you any way I can. But I want you to know there's hope. And if you're in an abusive situation, if you're a young person and you're being abused, you need to tell someone and that can help you. Tell a teacher, tell someone at your church, but tell someone, get some help. If you're a person, adult, and you're in an abusive relationship, get out, walk away.
Right.
Find someone that will just help you. And there are people out there to help you. There's places you can go. No one deserves to be treated that way. No one deserves to be hurt. You're supposed to be loved and cherished and treasured. That's the reason God created you. He loves you, he cherishes you, and he treasures you. And you should be treated that way.
Well, thank you, Don, for being a part of...
Take some action to get some help.
Thank you for being a part of our show. We are out of time. I truly have enjoyed this time with you, and hopefully I'll get to see you Saturday. If not, I wish you Godspeed, and if anyone needs your information, I will be glad to give it out. But thank you once again.
Okay, thank you so much. It's been a blessing.
Same here. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary owner